Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of the Gospel record of Luke. The Gospel record of Luke and Luke in chapter number 2. The Gospel record of Luke and Luke in chapter number 2. This time of year, people get very familiar with the Gospel record of Luke chapter 2 because it is this chapter that begins what we commonly would refer to as the Christmas story. It's in the Gospel record of Luke chapter 2 that it begins to mention how Jesus Christ was born on this earth, that it's starting with a tax of a government that allowed the excuse, the permission, and God moving Joseph and Mary from their home in Nazareth all the way down to two countries away to the city of Bethlehem. Because everyone else was gathered, the cities were full, there was no place at the inn, and so Jesus Christ, who was God robed in flesh, was born supernaturally in a virgin from a virgin to this earth, not in a palace, but in a lowly manger. And there we have the story continue to go on. We're going to concentrate today on the aftermath of Jesus' birth, still concerning Jesus' birth, but we're going to see a little bit more of the aftermath and put our attention on two people who were in the service of the house of the Lord. Notice, if you don't mind, in the Gospel record of Luke in chapter number 2. The Gospel record of Luke chapter 2, and notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 21. The Gospel record of Luke chapter number 2, and notice with me in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that open up the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it shall be revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through my own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him unto all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee and to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And with the Lord's help, we're going to do a character study on two people that appear here, both Simeon and Anna. And with that, we want to learn about them, recognizing the Messiah. Simeon and Anna, recognizing the Messiah. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you today, we're just asking that you would give us grace and mercy and understanding, that you would help us, Lord, to be able to see what's going on and to see what an important event the birth of Jesus Christ upon this earth really was. I'm asking that you would just help us now to be able to see with our mind's eyes, to be able to go back with our divine imagination and see this event. See what a big deal it was, to see the emotion, to see the personality, to see the explanation, and that we too can make a big deal out of Jesus within our lives. Fill me with your Holy Spirit even now to get your own work accomplished, and that you could again draw your people to yourself, that if there's anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, that today they would have an understanding of who Jesus is. And that they would worship him as well and allow Jesus to pay their sin debt upon himself as that free gift, that they would be glad to receive that gift that he offered to them. Lord, thank you for you being a wonderful God. In Jesus' name, amen. As we examine this passage and do character study on both Simeon and Anna, we want to start off with some background and see the presentation of Jesus. The presentation of Jesus. Now remember, let's just start at the beginning. The beginning was God. That there's a wonderful God. And the way that the Bible describes God is that he is holy, holy, holy. We could put in our minds in this context that Jesus, that God is perfect, perfect, perfect. Do you know that's what makes heaven worth going there? That in heaven, it's perfect. And heaven, there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears. It's perfect. The problem is that none of us are perfect. Do you know I'm a pastor of a church, but I've told lies? But you have too. Every single one of us have. I'm a pastor of a church, but I've disobeyed my folks. But guess what? So have you. You see, there's none righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have sinned. What is a sin, by the way? A sin is falling short of God's rules. That God says, this is my rules. This is my standard. This is why we have what is called the Ten Commandments. Those are God's rules of holiness. It's within the Ten Commandments that he says, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. We would summarize it and say, obey your folks. Well, every single one of us have broken that commandment. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. But every single one of us have told lies. Every single one of us have broken God's standard, his commandments of holiness. All of us have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Which puts the problem. If heaven is a perfect place, God can allow something that is not perfect into that perfect place. It would ruin it. For example, we have beautiful white snow out there. But if somebody with a car that's spitting oil puts black stuff all over, is that snow nice and pretty anymore? Nope. Not at all. It ruined it. That corruption ruined that beautiful white snow. Well, because heaven's a perfect place, God can't allow anything that's not perfect into that perfect heaven. Well, now we have a problem because none of us are perfect. And so just using logic, because you can't set something that's not perfect into a perfect place, it's got to go somewhere else. You know, there is an other place to go that the Bible talks about in the Bible. It's an awful place called hell. Do you know that God never created hell for a single person to go there? He created hell for Satan and his demons to go and be punished, not for man. Then why does man go there? He goes there by default because God put a rule of holiness, a rule of perfection, and he can't allow something that's not perfect to go into a perfect place. So by default, there's no other place to go but that awful place called hell. You said, that's bad news, preacher. That is very bad news. Here's the good news. God wanted everyone to go to heaven. So what God did is that God robed himself in flesh. So just like I put on my jacket, Jesus was robed in flesh. Jesus is God robed in flesh. Why am I making a big deal out of this? Because Jesus did not begin at Bethlehem. Amen. Jesus is God who was an eternal God. At that moment in time, Jesus robed his glory, robed his holiness into flesh, and he humbled himself as a baby. You're like, why would he do that? I know, it's pretty fantastical. If you were the God of all the universe, why would you give up all of those glories to come and live with stinking, rotten, filthy humans? The answer is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That Jesus robed himself in flesh and came on this earth. And he did it as a servant. The Bible talks about in Philippians of no reputation. Jesus willingly made himself of no reputation. He was deserving of palaces, of riches, of accolades, of parades, of glories everywhere. But he was born unannounced, unrecognized. You said, was that by design? No, it was because people had ignored God. You understood that the prophecies of the Old Testament were so specific, they could only be fulfilled? In the book of Micah, chapter 2, it said where he was going to be born. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, it said when he was going to be born. That if people just paid attention to the Bible, they could have known when and where. In fact, that's why the wise men, when they came, they were so surprised. Why aren't they celebrating in the streets of Jerusalem? They had to go ask, where is this child? And they had to go like research. You know where they found the answer? In the Bible. But the wise men were all surprised. Why aren't people celebrating your king is born? Jesus was born of no reputation. So that way he could die for you and for me. Jesus was born for one reason, and that was to die. When Jesus was born, because all of humankind was ignoring him, God wasn't going to allow his son to be born without some fanfare. So in Luke chapter 2, we could see that the angels appeared in the sky above lowly shepherds and said, my child is born. Go see him. The shepherds are like, wow, this is amazing. They heard the angels singing glory in the highest, and they went and found the babe in the manger. By the way, Joseph and Mary were not looking for any fanfare. You know, he was a humble carpenter. He was the stepdad. He was a humble carpenter. They were a poor family, and we see evidence of their boredom. They were not rich. They were not expecting fanfare. And by the way, ladies, if you happen to have a child born in a manger, do you think you look your best?
No.
Do you think you're ready to receive visitors?
No.
And yet, they had knocking on the door. You had some visitors. Who are they? Some shepherds. They heard that the Christ child was born. You know, they were there for Christ, but, you know, doesn't Mary kind of be there on the scene too? Here are these people praising this child that was just born. Bet she just wanted some rest. But God was making it so it was recognized. My child is born, and I'm not allowing it to go by without any fanfare. Because this is something big. When the shepherds go home and they've told the story, Mary and Joseph get a couple days to regather themselves. Notice with me in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, by the way, just for the fun of it, I have a medical background. 8 days is the perfect day. Because in 8th day, the baby still has mom's antibodies in the body. and the baby starts producing its own antibodies, it is the perfect time to do this procedure, this little minor surgery, because it's the most antibodies to protect against infection. It's almost like God knows our bodies and gave instructions. So circumcision was accomplished 8 days in. And 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, and his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, so after this, because of the childbirth, for those ladies who've given childbirth, you understand it's a messy thing, especially without medical science. So the law had said that for 21 days afterwards, the lady was to stay away from everyone. Once again, it's a very common, ancient way of making sure infection is over with so you don't spread infection. It's almost like God knew what he was doing. So after the 21 days, when everything is healed on her and now she's functioning, now they are to go and present the child unto God to worship him. Thank you for this child that you have given me. By the way, all children are a gift of God. But this one even more special. Now, Mary and Joseph are poor, and we could see that with the offering of the turtle doves, and they're expecting no fun fanfare. They're doing it according to the law. They're doing it because it's right. Notice, if you don't mind, verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that open up the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law, a pair of turtle doves or a pair of young, or two young pigeons. Now, the turtle dove and the pigeons is what is offered to a poor family who can't afford anything better. God had made a provision that if you're poor, this is what you could offer. So again, it's putting an emphasis that they're not rich. They don't have a lot of money. They're very poor, but they're trying to do what's right. They go to the house of God when he's a baby because this is what's right. And they're worshiping God inside of the house of God because this is what's right. They're trying to do what is right according to the Bible, according to God's law, going to God's house to worship and honor him. Now, they are planning to go with no fanfare. We're going to show up. We're going to do our thing. We're going to worship God with our hearts. But we're hoping just to get in and out. No stopping, no other thing. Nobody knows who we are. But God says, no, no, no. I'm not going to allow this to go. I need to make sure everyone know this is something special. This is my Christ child. So with that, we see the proclamation of Simeon. Notice with me in verse 25. And behold. Now, whenever you come to the word behold in the Bible, it's equivalent to what we say in the South. Hey, y'all, watch this. It means to the next statement that's going to happen is supposed to be something amazing. And so they come in, they're supposed to do what they're having, and behold, and watch this. Watch what? Watch what God is doing. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout. So we learn character about him. This is a man who is justified and devout. He is devout towards God. He is someone who wants to worship God. So notice, this is someone who's just not off the street, not someone who's on drugs, not someone in delusion. This is someone who's been faithful to God and loves the Lord. Faithful and devout, just and devout. Notice this, waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does this mean? In the Old Testament, the hope that the Old Testament people had was that God was going to send a deliverer. The hope of salvation. God had promised over and over in the Bible that he was going to provide himself a lamb that would take away the sins of the world. Here is a man who is hoping for this promise. I'm hoping that Jesus comes back. I am hoping he's looking. I'm looking for God to fulfill his word and fulfill his promise. This is someone who religion and the Bible wasn't just something I do. It was something he put his hope in. That God is going to do what he said he was going to do. I can't wait till God accomplishes what he promised he would do. And it says the Holy Ghost was upon him. Remember, the Holy Ghost is God. And the Holy Ghost was working with this man. Notice verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So here's an older man who's given his life to worship God, to serve God. He read his Bible faithfully. He was looking forward to God fulfilling the Bible. And during his devotions, his time of Bible reading and prayer, God says, guess what? I'm not going to let you die until you see the Lord's Christ. We don't know when that was given, but you know, this gave hope. God promised me I'm not going to die until I see him. I'm not going to die until I see him. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to see the promise. I'm looking forward to it. Well, you know, the longer that went on, the more exciting it's going to be when it's being fulfilled. This is something to look forward to. He had purpose in his life. I'm not going to die until I see this Christ. I'm not going to die till I see God's promise fulfilled. He's looking forward to it. It's building up. This is a man, by the way, God is prepared. God knew this was going to happen. By the way, this wasn't, well, God says, I need someone to go. Let's find someone. God had been preparing someone for a while for this one moment in time. God was preparing before there was even a need. God had already had this prepared. This wasn't last minute. This was premeditative. This is something that was already being in the works. And it was revealed to him before by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he see the Lord's Christ, verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. So what happened is that he was sitting doing his devotions and God says, it's time. I need you to go to my house. I need you to go to the temple. I got a plan for you. Go. He's going there because God told him to be there. And so he does. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him in his arms. So Simeon took Jesus in his arms and blessed God. So this is how it went. Mary and Joseph planning going in and out. They got the baby. They're holding him, just, you know, minding their own business. You know, if they're like many of you, you know, don't look at me. Don't talk to me. I'm just went in and out. Just let me go. Let me go. Let me do my thing. And here this man comes right up to them. Maybe they see in the corner of the eye this guy that's making a beeline. He's not going anywhere. He's going right to them. Maybe as they're going forward, they're watching him change direction. And this guy comes. Can I hold the baby? I mean, all mothers are used to that, you know. Can you hold my baby? And he takes the baby. And to their dismay and fear, like yours would be, it's him! It's him! This is the child! Not on their agenda. They were hoping not to be noticed at all. Now this old guy comes up. It's him! This is the one we're waiting for! By the way, he's excited. This is not quiet. He's happy for it. Notice what he says. Verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy words. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Notice he's talking to God. And he's excited. Lord, you told me I was going to see him. It's him. Oh, Lord, this is the one who's going to take away our sins. This is the one you promised. I'm holding him. He's going to pay for my price. This is him. Well, if you're in the middle of a crowded place and some old guy starts shouting off the top of his lungs, holding a baby up in the air, do you think it might get some attention? Mary and Joseph, like, I just went in and out. Now they're stuck, and a crowd's starting to come. This guy has made a big deal of it. I'm like, give me my baby back. He's not done yet. He was just talking to God. Now he's got a crowd. He's got to preach. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Wouldn't you? I didn't think anybody knew who we were. They weren't wearing name tags. They didn't have, you know, we are your guest. They were just coming in to do their business. They were coming in. And this guy came in and said, this is the Christ child. How did he know? It wasn't, you know, like pictures where there's a little ring around the baby's head. It's not like there's sunlight. It's not like there's a choir, a children's choir following him singing. It's not like angels are pointing over him. How did he know? God told him. You know, God is making it. Mary and Joseph just wanted to be quiet. But God says, this is my child, my son, and I'm not allowing him to go to something like this without fanfare. This is my child. This is the one we should be looking for. This is the one of an announcement. You think some people remembered this day a little bit later? I was at the temple minding my own business, and this guy just grabbed this child and started just screaming that this is the... That's memorable. You might remember that a little bit later on. God is making sure that his child is not going to be looked over. His child is here. So Simeon, verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through my own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So he addresses the crowd. The crowd comes and he speaks to Mary. Mary, just in case you didn't know, by the way, that song, it may be cute and all, but it's very wrong in so many places. She did know. And if she didn't know, she knew now. This is your child. It's going to take away the sins of the world. My sins. My own sins. You know, Simeon's recognizing that he's a sinner. Amen. In needing of a Savior. And here is the Savior. What made this child a Savior? Was it because he was going to go slay dragons? Was it because he was going to topple kingdoms? It was because this child was going to grow up and die for your sins and for mine. And he was able to recognize this is the one to pay my sin debt. I'm a sinner in needing of a Savior. And this is the one that was made to die in my place. A crowd has gathered. And Mary and Joseph are marveling. You would too. And they're like, just give me my baby and let's just move on, disperse, disappear in the crowd. But God's not done yet. We see the proclamation of Simeon, but then we see the prayers of Anna. Verse number 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age. Now, when it says great age, it means she was very old. How old was she? Well, let's see. And had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. So she got married and lived with her husband for 7 years, and he died. She was a widow. Verse 37. And she was a widow of 80. Remember, 80 is 20. So 80 is 80. So 80, 4 times 20 is 80, and 4 years. So she was a widow of 80 and 4 years. Here she, 84. Now, this is out in the ancient world. Today, 84 is still pretty old. But in the ancient world, this is of great age. Older than most of you. So, back then, they still had a little bit of respect for the elders. So here is this 84-year-old lady. I want to see. Let me get eyes on him. She comes out. She's very well respected. Because her full-time job is to pray. Notice with me in verse number 37. And she was a widow of 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. That was her full-time job, was to be a prayer warrior. Praise the Lord for someone who could get a hold of God. Amen. Who could really get a hold of God. And so here's someone who's right with God. Here's Simeon who has devotions. He's right with God and he gets the privilege. Here's a lady here who spends time praying and talking with God. And she gets the privilege of seeing him. So she comes in, verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So here's Mary and Joseph trying to come in quietly. All right, we're just going to do our thing, get out. We're not going to say hi to anybody. And this old guy comes up and grabs him. It's him! It's him! Mary and Joseph are marveling. Oh, man. Okay. I mean, you know, it's not like you could yell at the guy. I mean, he's making a big deal out of your kid. I learned a long time ago that if you want to get in with the parents, you be nice to the kids. They kind of like that. And so they're not going to yell at him, but they're kind of like, okay, that's enough. But it keeps going on, and a crowd forms. And finally, across the chamber, here's this old lady coming through. I want to see him. I want to look at him. And she comes up, gets her eyes on the little kid, and she sees the crowd, and she says, it's him! It's him! It's him! She spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What does that mean? The word redeem means to buy back. As we've done some studies in Hosea, we get the full picture that because of our sin, we deserve to be separated from God. We're actually in the slave market of sin. There's consequences for it. And when we're worthless and we're on display and no one else wants us, Jesus does. Amen. The word redeems means to buy back. You know what the purchase price was to get your sins taken away? It was his blood. Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins and mine. Not just as a blanket, but each individual sin he paid for. And so here's this well-respected 84-year-old lady comes up. This is him. This child is going to take away your sins of the world. God promised to send a Redeemer. God promised to send a Messiah. He promised to send the Lamb of God. That's him. That's him. This whole crowd watches this. Simeon warmed it up. And now you have this well-respected lady that you're not going to argue with. This is a holy lady. This is a lady who walks with God. That's him. That's him. Your redemption is in that child. You think more people want to look at the child now? Yeah. Mary and Joseph's like, oh, we're never getting out of here. Everyone wants to look at the child now. Everyone wants to look at him. Why? Wouldn't you look at him too? If you realize that this is the one that was going to take away all of your sins, to forgive you of everything you've ever done, wouldn't you want to look at him too? Those people remember that day, I saw him. I saw the one that was told that was going to take away my sins. This is a big event. Again, God is not going to allow them to come in and out. He wants to be announced. This is him. This is him. And when they had performed all the things according to the law, they returned to Galilee in their own city. Kind of anticlimactic, but they went and continued. They didn't just stop, but they fulfilled the worship of God inside of the house of God. Now, what does this do for us? Well, we need to recognize the Messiah through the service of the house of the Lord. Service of the house of the Lord was our theme for this year, understanding that every single one of us have a role to play inside of God's work, inside of God's house. Even today, God has a role for us. That with it, we need people to proclaim, it's him! It's him! The one that takes away the sins of the world. To be able to go talk to someone else and said, let me tell you about the one who could wash away your sins. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, this is the one who can make you forgiven of your sins. Remember, all of us have sins. All of us have built up quite an account of all the things we've ever done wrong. You're like, I'm fine, I'm good. You're not fine, you're not good. Have you ever thought about heaven and how perfect it is? I meet people all the time that say that in order to go to heaven, they see it as a weight system. And that when they stand before God, they see him as a judge and they see a pair of balances. And they say, if my good works somehow outweigh my bad works, I'll be able to slide right in. But that's not how heaven works at all. You see, how heaven works is that you must be 100% perfect all the time in order to get in, or you cannot. Well, that changes things quite a bit. Someone made an illustration like this, that in order to get to heaven, it's like trying to cross the Grand Canyon. Some of you can jump a lot further than other people, but none of you could jump far enough to go across the whole way. You will fall short of that goal. None of you are able to do it on your own. Maybe we'll put it a different way. Let's just say and imagine that I only sin 3 times a day. Now, I'm a pastor and I don't live that good of a life, but let's just pretend I just sin 3 times a day. I got aggravated with my wife. Is that understandable? I broke the speed limit. Most people kind of do that. And I told a little white lie. Now, if that's all I did in one day, that's living a really great life. I'm a pastor of a church and I don't live that good of a life. Neither do you. But let's just imagine, for illustration's sake, I only sin 3 times a day. But do you know just sinning 3 times a day at the end of 1 year, that is 1,000 sins? Just 3 times a day. That means that if I stood before God at age 25, that's 25,000 sins. Let's say that I made it to age 40. Just sinning 3 times a day, that's living a great life. That's still 40,000 sins to my account. Let's just imagine that I died at age 40, living a great life, that one that everyone else says, this is a good person. And I stood before a holy, righteous God who demands perfection and holiness. And I stood before him with 40,000 sins to my account. Would I look that good anymore? Nope. Not at all. You understand, you could live a good life, but none of you can live a perfect life. Prove it. This Christmas season, right? Shopping. How many have already gotten aggravated with someone during the shopping season? Oh, come on. Raise your hand if you're honest, right? All of us have. Not just shopping season. This is the happiest time of the year. And we get aggravated with people. All of us have already busted that. None of us have been perfect. In fact, can you go back and think of a single day where you were perfect? Didn't do a single thing wrong? Now, if you can't have a single day, how can you have a life that is perfect? And yet, that's the qualification. You see, why do we make a big deal about Jesus during this Christmas season? Why is it Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? Because it's a big deal. Because I cannot save myself. I am not good enough. I'm not perfect enough. I'm not holy enough. I cannot make it to heaven my own. I have to have someone to pay my price. Why is Christmas such a big time for us? Because it's the time that I remember that the child was born to die. He was God robed in flesh to take away my sins. And we need to be just as excited as Simeon. It's him! It's him! Why was it a big deal for him? Because he couldn't make it to heaven on his own. This was his only way. Why was it that it was a big deal for Anna? Known for praying and saying, this is him. This is him. Because it was the only way she could get to heaven was by him. Now, we've given you a lot of bad news. The good news is that God made it simple. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave, it's a gift. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth, trusted, put their faith in him and him alone shall be saved. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God has made it simple so everyone can go to heaven. The problem is that no one could go to heaven, but God wants everyone to go to heaven. So he provided a gift of his son to pay for your sins and to pay for mine, to pay for the price of us. And all we have to do is accept that free gift. Isn't that wonderful? That means that if you came in this building today and you didn't know for sure you're going to heaven, You could leave this building knowing without a doubt, 1 John 5:13, these things are written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I told you I have a science background. I love that word know. That word know means to know with evidence, to know with proof. I like evidence. I like proof. God made you a promise that if you would recognize that you're a sinner, and because of your sin, you deserve to be separated from God and go to an awful place called hell, that he made you a promise that Jesus died for you. And if you would just personally accept his free gift of salvation to take away your sins, he promised you, and God can't lie, that you would be forgiven all of your sins and be guaranteed a place in heaven. This is why Christmas is such a big deal to us. And if you have never personally accepted Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you, the greatest thing that could happen today is for you to receive that great gift for yourself. We have plenty of people that would be willing to take a Bible and show you from the Bible and answer your questions and let you know without a doubt how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. For those of you who are saved, this is why Christmas is such a big deal. This is why a message like this is exciting to us. Because even the quietest among you, if you saw Jesus back then, would be saying, "It's him! It's him!" Because we realize how much of a sinner we really are and what a big deal it was for him to take away all of them. It's him! It's him! Dear friend, if you don't know Jesus, your Savior, what's going to happen in just a moment, we're going to give what is called an invitation. There's nothing magical about the altars. What we're doing is we're inviting you to respond. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'd like to invite you to come forward. Get my attention, and I will have someone with a Bible come and answer questions and make sure that you understand how you could receive that gift for yourself and lead you to receiving that free gift. You could walk out of those doors knowing that if something was to happen to you, you'd be going to heaven, and to know with evidence, to know with proof. There's nothing magical that's going to happen, no choir of angels, no light in the sky, but God will change you and make you a different person. He'll give you a peace that you've never had before. We want you to have that. More importantly, God wants you to have that. If you don't mind, let's start off and let's talk to God together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you today, Lord, we just try to make a message simple. We know that you died on the cross for our sins. Every single one of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But you loved us so much, you didn't want us to go to the awful place called hell, but you robed yourself in flesh and came as the Lord Jesus Christ, that you were born to die. You lived the same life that we lived, Lord, and you lived your life perfect without ever doing anything wrong. You died on the cross to pay for our sins. You were buried in a borrowed tomb, and the third day you rose again to prove that you were God and to prove that God was satisfied with the payment that was made. Lord, all that's left is for us to receive that gift. You already did all the work. Lord, how can we turn away a free gift, especially when it forgives us of all of our sins? Maybe there's someone in here that's never accepted that gift. Lord, I'm asking that you would give them courage and bravery to receive that gift. In fact, with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I want people to feel like they could be honest with the Lord. How many in here, if you know without a doubt from the Bible that heaven's your home, would you raise your hand as a testimony unto him? So that's me. Amen. You could put your hands down. Now, there was many people who couldn't raise their hand. May I first of all commend you for your honesty? There's not a lot of honest people in this world anymore. And I appreciate your honesty. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to feel like you could be honest before the Lord. No one looking except for me, and I just want to pray for you. How many of you would be honest and say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I do not know for sure that I'm going to heaven if I were to die. I don't know for sure that my sins are forgiven." If that's you, would you raise your hand just enough for me to see it so I could pray for you? Say me. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Anyone else to say, "Preacher, I do not know for sure from the Bible. Would you pray for me?" Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Is there anyone else? Amen. Well, once again, let me commend you for your honesty. There's not a lot of honest people. If you would like to get that settled, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. Just get my attention, and I will have someone with a Bible show you how you can know without a doubt. And we'd be glad to get that settled for you. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.